I'm Marissa Norcross.
And I'm Dave Freund, and this is The Next Page. Marissa, how are you today?
I am good. It's a beautiful day.
It is.
It's July now by the time this podcast comes out,
right,
which is absolutely crazy.
It is, which means we've passed Leon Day. That's okay. That's okay.
That means
we're closer to the most wonderful time of the year.
Oh, man. Yes, that is exactly what I was thinking about. That's why I am in such a good mood today, is that we are inching our way towards the most wonderful time of the year.
But it is the 4th of July,
mm-hmm,
and very, very, very soon.
Mm-hmm.
And the post that I sent out this morning was entitled, We the People. It sounds so official, doesn't it?
Yes.
And so, you know, the reason why I wrote that We the People is that I think we need to appreciate our country more, all of us do,
mm-hmm,
and we need to appreciate the fact that we are the country.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the country is, oh yeah, sure, it's a landmass, but we are the country. And I kind of started out my post by talking about my family. I don't know if you knew all this about my family.
I didn't.
So what's kind of interesting about my family is this. My father was a first generation American. I am a first generation American. And my kids are first generation American. And so now everybody's saying, well, that's not possible. Well, yeah, it really is, because all four of my grandparents were born in Europe. My mother was born in Europe. And all of our listeners know that my wife, my favorite Austrian, was born in Europe. And so we have a rather unique perspective on what it means to be an American.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember growing up, you could not say anything negative about the country or about the president, regardless of who he was, in earshot of my grandparents, because they would not have tolerated it, because all four of them understood what it meant to live in Europe under some really oppressive regimes, and live through wars and just unbelievable. And my mom's family, when my mom was seven when she and her parents came to this country, so it would have been 1939, and they were poor. I mean, talk about poor. They were. I think what my mom said was, when they finally got to the U.S., they had some change in their pockets and they got like a quart of strawberries, and that was it.
Wow.
Now, did they have some relatives? Yes, they had relatives that were already here. But they really, really started out with absolutely nothing. And then my grandfather, he wanted to have like a grocery store. So he finally, you know, he worked and worked and worked, and he got this grocery store going. And then he kept running out of money. And he kept running out of money because he, you know, if people were saying that they had a need, he would just give it to them. So he was a really nice, generous man, but not a very good businessman. So he had to kind of, he had to have some help from my grandmother, I guess, getting the store going. And he actually didn't keep the store very long just because he was too nice. So then he ended up being a butcher at a butcher shop, a meat cutter, which meant we always, whenever grandma and grandpa came from Ohio, we had really, really nice food.
Mm-hmm.
Like trimmed off pieces of steaks and things like that. But anyways, and then I also reminisced a little bit about my wife becoming a citizen. So when she came to the States when she was 17, you had to wait 5 years to become a citizen. So she actually waited, it might have been just a little bit more than 5 years because we were married. And what I was surprised to learn was she had to pass an exam on citizenship. In American history. I mean, she's talking about the branches of the three branches of the government. She's talking about, you know, how the Congress works, questions about the Constitution. And it was like, wow. And I all of a sudden realized, I'll bet you there's a bunch of people that were born in this country, educated in this country, that could not pass that test.
Mm-hmm.
I am convinced of it, especially now. I don't think we teach enough civics, but I could be wrong because I'm not in school and I don't have kids in school. But anyways, that was kind of the basis of me reflecting and writing. And then I also touched on the beginning of the Constitution, where it really says, we the people have been entrusted, we the people. And then it talks about, preceding that, it talks about the process of forming a more perfect union. Actually, let me read it. We the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, to ordain and establish this Constitution for the United States of America. That's the preamble. And one of the things that I appreciate in that, it says, in order to form a more perfect union. And what I quickly realized growing up was we didn't live in a perfect country. It's one of the best, I think it is hands down the greatest country that has ever existed in the world. Now, again, I've read history, but in terms of offering opportunity to people, this country is second to none. But it's not perfect. And I think we can see that even today. And what I loved about that was where it talks about, in order to form a more perfect union. So I take that to mean that we, as the people, have the responsibility that as times warrant, have to make it better.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've already amended the Constitution many, many times, I believe 27 times. So clearly we realized that it wasn't perfect when the Constitution was first drafted. So there have been 27 amendments. Now, that sounds like a lot until you realize, you know, it's been 240-some years. That's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
So what were your thoughts when you read this for the first time? Because it's probably not what you were expecting as a 4th of July post.
You know, I thought this was really timely with given what we've been talking about lately regarding celebrations and remembering what is really special about what's going on. So in this example, July 4, right? It, for a lot of people, is just a weekend to have a barbecue, a weekend to have a big party. I got married on the 4th of July.
Yes, you did. So I understand that.
Yes. you'll be sharing some statistics later about how many hot dogs are eaten on Independence Day each year in the United States. But I think this was a really great reminder about why we celebrate the 4th of July. And that it's not the official start of summer or we're having a July 4th sale, right? Like, I don't know how many emails I'm going to get from retailers that I subscribe to about their sales when it's really not about any of that. It's not the time to go buy a mattress or a car, regardless of what the media tells you. It's really about celebrating, you know, our nation. And I love the emphasis that you had on the preamble, and we're not, it wasn't to form a perfect union. The operative word was a more perfect union. And a lot of our listeners probably come from manufacturing companies, and you know, we do work for Macne. So you think about continuous improvement.
Yep.
That is exactly what we, the people, should be focusing on. And those 27 amendments were just the start. But you said, like you said, it's been 200 some odd years. And we're still figuring it out.
Right.
And I just thought this was a really, like, a really interesting perspective as well. My grandparents were first generation American. So I'm third generation American, right? So different perspective. I didn't grow up with I had my great grandmother who came here from Portugal by herself or with her sister. They were both like teenagers at the time, but they came alone. Their parents actually left them in Portugal and came and said they were going to come back for them, and they didn't. They actually came here and never went back. So they worked carrying fruit from place to place in Portugal and saved up enough money to make the trip themselves and start their lives here.
That's amazing.
But I don't have the luxury of having her understanding of the country and what it meant to her.
Yeah.
And so to hear your story was really inspiring to me. And it reminded me, because it is something that I take for granted every single day. And a great reminder that, well, I will be celebrating my anniversary this weekend. I will also be celebrating the United States of America.
That's awesome. That's just awesome. Because, you know, one of the things, and I love this story, my dad used to tell me this when I was a kid. Because my dad loved history. And he would talk about the fact that, you know, after they had kind of worked their way through what kind of government we would have in Independence Hall, this, you know, Benjamin Franklin is coming out the doors and he's walking down the steps. And a woman says to him, you know, Dr. Franklin, do we have a monarchy or do we have a republic? And his words were kind of haunting. He said, you have a republic if you can keep it. Mm-hmm. Now, we the people, have the longest lasting constitutional democracy. We have a republic, which means we have representative government in the world right now. And so the Constitution was ratified on June 21st, 1788. The next oldest, if I can call it that, is Switzerland in 1848. And it was interesting note when I looked that up, that was after a 27-day civil war. So they had a civil war, but it was a lot quicker than ours. New Zealand was established in 1857. Canada's constitution was established in 1867. And the UK, the United Kingdom, in 1885. So we really are the oldest continuing constitutional republic in the world. Which says a lot. Which, you know, it tells me the wisdom of our framers. Now, you know I'm a person of faith, so I'm going to say also the blessings of God. But the wisdom of our framers to be striving toward a more perfect union and doing things like making it difficult to amend the Constitution. What I mean by that is it has to be a majority of the citizenry in a majority of the states. You know, so the way that it isn't just a popular vote kind of thing, like states have to ratify an amendment to the Constitution. And when you get enough states, then you can amend it. Which to me was like, okay, because we are the United States of America, we're individual states combined to make this more perfect union. So there was a lot of wisdom in it, in how they did it. So how about some really fun facts? Because I know people are not going to want to really spend a lot of time listening to a podcast on the 4th of July. But the first one I loved here is we didn't actually declare independence on the 4th. It was actually signed on the 4th and published in the papers on the 4th, but it actually took a little bit longer for that to happen. If I don't go in order, I'm going to skip some of these good ones. We will enjoy 150 million hot dogs on the 4th of July.
That's crazy.
It is part of an estimated 7 billion dogs that will be eaten during the summer between Memorial Day and Labor Day.
Wow.
That's a lot of hot dogs.
Wait, just between between Memorial Day and Labor Day.
Between Memorial Day and Labor Day, we will eat 7 billion hot dogs.
We the people, now, you know, apparently
we like hot dogs. We the people will. Now, I have a question for you. So do you have a preferred hot dog bun?
No, because I'm not really much of a hot dog eater.
Oh, okay. So I like the New England buns that are sliced down the top and they just kind of open up. Just a unique thing about me. And, you know, so you wouldn't be able to really enjoy it. But the fact that we can have Hoffman hot dogs and Coney's here, oh my goodness. Those white, snappy, whatever, they are my family knows that. And I grill them till they're almost black. Okay. Only two men actually signed the Declaration of Independence on July 4th, 1776. The rest, the other 54, signed them later. As it kind of worked around. But Charles Thompson and John Hancock were the only two men that actually signed it when they were supposed to. And I love this one. There is something written on the back of the Declaration of Independence. And I loved how this note was. And no, it isn't a treasure map written in invisible ink. However, according to the History Channel, there is a very simple message that is written upside down across the bottom of the signed document that reads, original Declaration of Independence dated July 4th, 1776. So nobody knows who wrote it, but it was believed to have been added as a label during the years of the Revolutionary War when parchment was frequently rolled up for transport. So they probably rolled it and then wrote that on the back of it.
Interesting.
Let's see here. One person, Richard Stockton, a lawyer from New Jersey, recanted. Of course, it probably had something to do with the fact that he was captured by the British and thrown in jail. After years of abusive treatment, his recanting of loyalty, Stockton was released, but he found that everything that he had was burned. So that's kind of sad. That is really sad. Everything that he had, he ended up losing anyways. So, you know what? All that recanting didn't do him any good, did it? So the age, the average age of the signers was 45 years old.
That's older than I would have thought.
Yeah, so Thomas Lynch and Edward Rutledge of South Carolina were only 26, but Benjamin Franklin was 70.
Yeah.
This one really got me. It said the Declaration of Independence was written on a laptop. And I'm like, what? Thomas Jefferson drafted the Declaration of Independence on a writing desk that could fit on one's lap. The device was referred to at the time as a laptop.
Wow. Look at us.
Is that not interesting? Huh?
That is interesting.
So our listeners will be clearly the smartest people. Hands down, this 4th of July.
Oh, for sure. Pull out these facts.
Yeah. we love our fireworks. We know that actually started in 1776, 1777 timeframe. When they started, they wanted, I think it was John Adams and Abigail that said that the 4th of July should always be remembered with parties, parades, and illuminations. So they liked the fireworks. $1 billion worth per year.
Just on the 4th?
Let's see. According to the American Pyrotechnics Association, Americans spend more than $1 billion on fireworks each year. So the full year.
Okay.
Okay?
Wow.
According to Fortune, injuries occur in the months of June and July, mostly experienced by men, because only 10% of the fireworks displayed are done by professionals. Oh, surprise, surprise.
And probably 0% of the people doing them at home have read the safety precautions and directions.
Exactly, exactly. On the second anniversary of the Independence Day, 1778, American troops were fighting the American Revolutionary War during the time George Washington ordered a double ration of rum for each American soldier to celebrate the holiday.
Huh.
Yeah, and the fireworks thing actually goes back to 1777. Let's see. Started out much smaller. Yeah, we know that. The United States back then was only 2.5 million people. Wow. In 2017, we had 325 million people. Here's one that I don't think too many people know. The wearing of the flag violates a law.
Really?
Yes. There is it's a flag code that states you are in violation if you sell or display any article of merchandise upon which shall be printed, painted, attached, or otherwise placed a representation of the flag in order to advertise, call attention to, direct, mark, or distinguish the article of substance of which place. So basically, and my dad used to tell me this, it's disrespectful to wear like clothing that looks like a flag. You can have a flag on it. We did talk last year about the bizarre 50th anniversary where Jefferson and Adams both died within 5 hours of each other on the 50th anniversary. I thought that was kind of interesting. And last but not least, before we close, a little late to the parade, the United States government did not declare July 4th a federal holiday until 1870.
Wow.
What were they sleeping on the switch for? Come on. Give me a break. Could you imagine a year without a national or a federal holiday for the, like, or I guess maybe they could have, instead of used the 4th of July, they could have done Constitution Day, but still, we need a reason, a day to celebrate things that we value. And we know that what we appreciates in our minds.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
That's all I got.
Well,
and I don't have any like Yankee Doodle music. So
you're not going to perform.
No, I'm not going to perform.
Wow. So do you have any plans for this weekend to celebrate?
I really don't. You know, I'm hoping that my good friends will have their boat in the lake. Because last year they were so kind, and on the third they invited us out to see the lighting of the lake, of Otisco Lake, with them on their pontoon boat.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure if they have it in the water, they'll call us because we've been doing that together for I don't know how many years. It's just since there's no camp for me to leave my boat at, it's really hard for me to take my own boat out.
Yeah.
But that would be, you know, and of course we'll get together with family and we'll eat some hot dogs.
On New England style buns.
And hopefully we'll have New England style buns. And we're going to be good to go and remember just how profoundly blessed we are to live in the greatest country on earth. How about you? Other than happy anniversary.
Yeah, we'll be celebrating our anniversary. But, you know, we don't really have any plans yet. Just it's all kind of up in the air right now. I think we got to figure that out. But I'm sure we'll celebrate somehow. We were supposed to be in Turks and Caicos for celebrating our anniversary. When we were on our honeymoon 5 years ago, my husband put it on my calendar. Little did we know our trip would not be happening this year. So,
because of a worldwide pandemic.
Yeah, we could not have predicted that. But I'm sure we'll celebrate both our anniversary and Independence Day over the weekend.
Terrific. Well, I hope you have a wonderful weekend, a wonderful anniversary, you and Derek. And that I know your kids are going to grow up feeling appreciative for the great country we live in, because I know you are as well. So with that, I'm Dave Freund.
I'm Marissa Norcross.
And this was our 4th of July edition of The Next Book.